Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610 on this Tuesday. And actually some breaking. I always feel weird using the words breaking news.
But it is.
It is breaking news. Yeah. It just doesn't feel like it carries the appropriate weight. Mm-hmm. However.
It's not worthy of the sounder.
No, I definitely not. I feel like that would create an anxiety amongst the listenership that's not needed in this moment. No. Fina came back acting a fool. I see you. He's well-rested from the break. But this is our news from our nation's capital as Cliff Kingsbury is leaving the Washington Commanders organization to, quote, pursue other opportunities. So this isn't specifically he was fired. This seems kind of a mutual parting of ways.
Or he left.
Or he just left. Yeah. And I don't know that inherently means that he's going to be an NFL head coach. Because I don't know if I would want you to hire him as an NFL head coach if I had an NFL team that was looking for a coach right now.
Yeah, I don't think it means that at all, to be honest. I think what it is he's already got a job. Otherwise, why would he leave? Well, you know, why would he leave?
Well, I think he just wanted a better opportunity.
Yeah, and I think he
to
has.
To that role to become a head coach.
He has fallen up a lot of his career.
He really has.
And I say that with as much respect as I can actually muster.
Hey, he's got a lot
of. Hey, man, he had no business getting that Arizona job, in my opinion, man. I just don't see.
How much of his salary should Johnny Manziel get? I'm dead serious. Yeah. If it wasn't for that one season.
There should be a good tip in there somewhere, though. He's a few grand just as a thank you.
It's crazy he got that Arizona job to begin with.
Yeah, but I think what it is here, just speculation, don't know a damn thing, but it just writing on the wall, I think he might have a college head coaching job.
I was thinking the same thing.
But
I don't know where he would go, though.
It feels so late in the cycle. It feels like teams have really gotten themselves situated, especially considering that the transfer portal opened up late last week.
No, it's awkward.
So I was guessing that he might end up as someone else's offensive coordinator. I don't know that I trust him to be a head coach, but he has the things to be an offensive coordinator, even if
in the NFL?
Yes, in the National Football League. I just don't know how much I personally trust him, but I also have a level of distrust for him. That is probably not fair. He had the 2024 Commanders looking like a fantastic offense. They went to, was it the NFC Championship game that year?
Yeah, with a rookie.
Now Jane Daniels has had some injuries. They've had the team in general this past year did not look in the same vein. How much of that do you attribute, at least on offense,
has
to him?
I don't know. Has he ever worked with Matt Nagy?
That is.
No, I'm dead serious.
That is such a good question. I don't believe so.
Or has some, they all have some kind of relationship, but Matt Nagy.
Or say
probably.
Yeah, I was going to say, are we going to play, name the connection? Because I see what you're going for.
Yeah.
And if you don't see where he's going, can you lay it out for us?
So Matt Nagy is probably going to get the Titans job. We said that.
Why is that?
Well, because the general manager has a relationship with him and everything else in Tennessee. We actually speculated Matt Nagy's name the day that the Titans job came open. And now he's interviewing. Obviously, he said he's not going to call plays. Once he gets to Tennessee, he's going to be more of an overseer like D'Amico Ryans. So I'm wondering, you know, Cam Ward, job security, second-year quarterback, that might be very tempting for someone like Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, I could see that as being in that. I would not love that.
Yeah.
I mean, that is giving a Cam Ward who has displayed flashes at the end of this year.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if we said this. He dealt with an AC joint sprain in that game that sent him out of the Jaguars game, that pretty much put the game out of reach for the Titans. Not that it was going to be in reach anyways, but he's not going to have surgery. So he should be good to rest, rehab, and be ready for next season in a normal fashion. And if he comes back with – I don't love Matt Nagy as an offensive guy, but he has been a head coach before. Maybe he can be the CEO there.
That's what
and if they bring in a coordinator like Cliff Kingsbury – that gets a little more dangerous. They still have to add talent. There's a lot of they're bereft of talent in Tennessee, and some of that is the tearing down that they've done. But I still don't love the idea of giving competence over to the Titans. That's not fair.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know what the text line looks like right now, though. There's a lot of people going,
"Oh,
next Texans offense coordinator." If for some reason you end the playoffs and the organization says, "Nick Haley, thank you for your service, but we expect more,"
I don't see that.
Would that be something? I don't either.
He was in town.
I don't either. But
remember, it was like an interview, but not an interview.
Yeah,
like he came over from Korea or something. He was doing something.
That's right,
Thailand. I think he was in.
He went somewhere. He went somewhere in the East, because I remember when he left. That was the UCLA job that he had said that he was going to do, and he was just like, "Actually, I'm gonna go home now."
Yeah,
something like that.
And then they said he's flown in from Korea to Houston, but then they didn't officially make it an interview. I think
he was just hanging out.
Yeah.
He just wanted to audit the building and see how y'all was doing things. That's it. Would you be interested in a Cliff Kingsbury as offense coordinator if for some reason the thing shook out for that way, which I don't believe is going to happen?
I absolutely would. D'Amico Ryans absolutely would not.
Would not. And why do you say that with that?
He likes what they're doing.
Keep
it safe, boys.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they moved on from this OC this year, man. It seemed like everything is going the way they thought it was going to go.
And with this defense, it's exactly the way D'Amico Ryans likes
it.
Yeah. Stay safe, conservative, run the ball.
Okay. And then there's an argument that can be made and is being made on the text line right now, that do you want to have yet another offense coordinator third in 4 years in that tenure? It's not something you desire, but we'll see. We'll see how you continue to feel about Nick Haley with the playoff run.
If anything, I could see that if they did decide to move on from him, I could see them giving that position to Gerard Johnson.
Sure,
possibly.
Yeah, that
would kind of suck if Gerard Johnson is stuck with the program, and all of a sudden you're like, "Hey, the new hotness done came back out on the streets."
Yeah,
that's the only way I see them moving on from Haley.
That's fair. That's fair. Some other things around the National Football League. As you know, the carousel of coaches and executives continues to roll on with Black Monday yesterday and all the machinations. Another parting of ways, but this one very much direct. Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator of the Cowboys, axed. And I feel like Jerry Jones had made this decision weeks ago, but it was like, "We're not going to do it on Monday because everybody else is doing stuff on Monday." Tuesday, that's when people will talk about the Cowboys. This was clear. This had to happen. They were an awful defense, even with them getting rid of Micah Parsons. He was just bad.
And it wasn't – I like him as a defensive coordinator.
I liked him as a defensive coordinator. I mean, obviously, we saw him pretty close when he was working in Indianapolis, right, with the Colts. But, yeah, it has not looked the same, neither in his tenure in Chicago as the head man.
It's a Jerry Jones
nor there.
Special, man.
I think he was, though. He was bad in and of himself. He had some weird things like playing players outside of their strengths, which is an easy way to lose me if you're a coach. And so, yeah, it looks bad there. Some other things around the NFL now. Executive wise, this is the interesting thing, and I want you to I'm gonna ask you, how do you feel about this from the Falcons? Are they serious or unserious? As Matt Ryan, former you know, really club legend there, quarterback there for the Falcons, is reportedly hoping to become the next president of football operations with the Falcons, which we kind of had some speculation on. The additional news today is that he's hoping to continue his CBS job that he's doing right now and do some level of
Thanks a lot,
Falcons
Tom Brady.
As well.
Exactly.
Thanks
exactly.
a lot, Tom Brady.
I think you and I might differ on this. I actually like the idea of him, you know, getting, you know, his feet on the ground, his boots on the ground in Atlanta. I would trust him. I think he knows people at every level in organizational football here. I like the idea of him doing that. I really do. I think he'll be good for Arthur Blank. He certainly knows, like I said, everyone in the league. I don't like the precedent that Tom Brady has set, and I don't think it's a precedent that should have been set. You know? at all.
Yeah, I just, it is something I really despise, but mm-hmm. the barriers have been broken down, and this is now a thing that the NFL is cool with. And I think that this is one of those kind of just things that were, you know, not spoken, but kind of known and mm-hmm. understood, is that, oh, you don't want to have these conflicts of interest. And I think the NFL is realizing in sports in a lot of different places that, hey, these things that we have held up as pillars to making sure that this thing keeps going, the thing keeps rolling on without them in various other ways. I will tie this kind of tenuously, but I will still tie this to even like the appearance of illegitimacy gambling wise. That's mm-hmm. one of those conversations that we've had, is the NFL and other sports were so far away from gambling, and they you know, they cozied up a little bit, and they saw, oh, the whole thing doesn't fall down if we do this.
And there's more money.
And here we go. And I think that that's where you find things like Tom Brady calling games and being a minority owner, and now the possibility of Matt Ryan having executive say-so in a NFL team, but also being a part of culling narratives. This is something that's going to continue happening, and I really freaking hate it.
And it's not just gambling. It's not just the conflict of interest. There's so many things the NFL, basically the NFL talks a good game. They talk a good game, but they don't necessarily back it up with their actions,
right,
and how they sort of implement these things.
No, for sure. But here we are. Now, it remains to be seen if the Falcons actually do this, but who we fooling?
Yeah.
Like Arthur Blank is, it was reported that he was already listening to Matt Ryan and some advice on what they do.
Yeah.
I think that you go with, we've seen this in a number of different facets. You go with people that you trust, in some ways good and in other ways bad. What's up, Jim Crane?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that you go with people that you know and you're familiar with, and you give them power a lot of times in those roles. Some other things around the NFL as we continue talking about this. Mike McDaniel is not, or he's going to remain there in Miami as the head coach. They have a general manager opening, and Mike McDaniel says that he is a part of the GM hiring process. Is this a good idea, John Lopez?
It's not a good idea, but what it tells me is Mike McDaniel has a lot better job security than I thought he did. Yeah,
I tried to told you, didn't I?
Man, like, I thought he was on real shaky
ground. I was calling for it. I mean, I thought he was going to get fired week four.
Yes.
I kept saying, this is the week. This is the week.
Yes, and anytime a head coach has that kind of say and power in a general manager hiring, number one, it's a general manager, you know, because of his influence, that he's going to get along with, and maybe even to a large degree control. And that's job security right there.
Now, it is worth noting that Mike McDaniel was saying this, and that could just be self-aggrandizing.
Sure.
It could just be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have a say in this.
Yeah.
And you might not actually have any level of influence. But I would think that this is a bad idea. I think that you should reserve that kind of influence for people that you know are established. And I don't know that they should be in a place where he should be established, although I do believe that he should be the head coach next year. And I talked about that. Mm-hmm. They did not quit on him as a team. He continues to be an innovative play caller. He just had his play calling hampered by a quarterback that is going to be a limiting factor. I want to see what he can do going forward. However, with that point, that is where I will hit him on this thing, where Mike McDaniel is apparently not closing the door on the possibility of Tua Tagovailoa returning and being a part of a quarterback competition. What the hell are you doing, dog?
Yeah, I think he's lying. I think basically that's working the system, trying to see if there's any takers. I mean, everybody does it. Everybody does it. All right, you know, no, he's definitely going to be in the competition. But in the back rooms, they're talking about how they're going to be able to move on.
Maybe so, but we have all seen that movie.
Yeah.
We are all familiar with the game, man. If you're going to get Tua Tagovailoa off of your roster, which I don't know that they will because of the prohibitive factor of his
mm-hmm.
contract.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be because your organization slaps some draft capital to his lapel as he goes. You're not fooling nobody in the NFL. In fact, sometimes I think we on the outside do this too much, where we're like, oh, don't say too much because they won't. Buddy,
no,
they got staffs and staffs of people that they know better than we do what's happening inside the other buildings.
Yes.
We're not fooling nobody in the National Football League on these things. But, yeah, this is not going to matter here. But the idea that he's going to actually be a part of the competition, don't do that to yourself. Because, I think the reason why you remain is that everybody, including the Stephen Rosses of the world who owns the team and the people who are decision makers, recognize, okay, you are talented. You had a limiting factor. Don't then pull that limitation back on yourself because it's a safety blanket of sorts.
The NFL is one giant sewing circle. They all talk. They all gossip. They all ask questions, you know, hey, how's so-and-so doing? What do they really think of this guy? Do you think that job is going to come open? Even for the most established contending teams like the Texans, You're fooling yourself if you don't think some guys in that building are kind of asking around,
sure,
talking, you know, finding out whether it's jobs or player availability or whatever.
The Cold War is over, but I feel like you have a, you know, somewhat similar feeling in the National Football League and competitive sports in general at the professional level. Mm-hmm. They are all trying to do some level of spy work or find out. I mean, hell, we've seen that a number of times. What's up to, what was it, James Click? Wasn't that what James Click was doing in somewhat nefarious ways?
Yeah.
There's more legitimate ways of doing that, but everybody's trying to get information and get a feel for what's happening around the league.
Yeah.
That's part of trying to find competitive advantage. So, yeah, no, they're all in on what's happening around everywhere else. Somebody said, I want to see what Mike can do with Stroud. I love the appeal, especially because the offense that the style, or rather the tree of offense that he calls, is the one that felt like it was really good for CJ. It felt like it was the wrong play caller in Bobby Slowick. I would have loved if there was an opportunity to have the similar offense, but a better play caller for Stroud, because I'm still not sold on the idea that the offensive tree, the offensive system that they have here for CJ right now is one that he flourishes best in. Can he be good in it? Maybe. I think that's quite a possibility, but it felt like he was really well situated for what they were doing previously.
No, you're not alone.
I think that'd be interesting.
In fact, that's something that you and I and a lot of people have talked about. It's also something that I think is, you know, kind of bringing it back to where we are this week with the Texans. I think it's something that's a factor in the game against the Steelers.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that at noon.
Without question. Without question. And then one more thing before we go here around the NFL. Did you see Russell Wilson giving you the tale as old as time?
Oh, my arm.
Apparently.
The old Rodney Dangerfield.
It's the I did something embarrassing, so I'm going to claim that, oh, man, I'm injured, man. Yeah. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Apparently, the Giants didn't know that he had injured his hamstring. He'd actually had a grade 2 tear, Russell Wilson says, in week 2. It was the Friday practice before week 2 overtime loss to the Cowboys for the Giants. So his perspective is that he had an injury. He said, quote, not the Giants' fault on Twitter. They didn't know because I didn't want to tell anyone because of the circumstances. I just had to play through it and try and go play ball that day. Thought we were going to win that wild, crazy game.
All right. Clipping and pasting and putting it in the 1240 segment on Thursday, buy or sell. We won't have to buy or sell right now, but there is no way in hell, no way in hell, the Giants didn't know if he was, in fact, injured.
I think there's instances where dudes don't. You don't think so?
No way. Just because of the way he operates in the huddle, the discussion around, you know, the locker room, trainers are around you every day. They gauge these guys' health, you know, digitally, you know, with all sorts of other things and test them and all this and that. No way in hell the Giants didn't know if, in fact, he was injured.
I just love this I'm just trying to, as a attempt to further his career, I just don't think anybody is going to take
it's
you
done,
up on
right?
that. Like, I think that we got to that place with you, big dog.
Yeah.
The peak was very, very high for him. I do hate the way it fizzled out. Some of that feels like that's him.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that feels like that's him, and we've had that conversation
before.
All right, that's a little bit of Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Tuesday. Coming up next, an incredible moment at the end for the Rockets on what was a weird day. A lot of hoopla, and I think all that hoopla took away from what was actually the most important Rockets news of the day. I'll tell you what that was next. Yeah.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Tuesday to you. In fact, it better be a happy Tuesday to you, at least in the sports context, because if it's not, I don't know what you need to get happy.
What else do you want?
I mean, you got a brand new Japanese pitcher. You got a new toy, and he's excited to be here. Like, he ain't just get somebody and he's here. He's talented, he's young, and he's excited to be here. That's cool. You got, obviously, the Texans headed to the playoffs. And looking, probably having the most buzz around them heading into the playoffs in quite a while, and the most belief in their path and their capabilities. And then you got the Rockets giving you drama in a way that only a star player could give you, and that was Kevin Durant having a big time 3-point shot to win the game 100-97 in that moment.
With MIE in the crowd.
In the crowd, the McNairs were also in the building. It was what a fun moment to have. In fact, you know who enjoyed that moment maybe more than anybody? Well, one, Kevin Durant, because he was out here talking about this. In the moment, you saw the emotion.
Scapegoated.
And then afterwards, he said that winning against the Suns, the team that he was traded away from, is one that it mattered. It made it more for him. He said that he felt like he was scapegoated for it not working in Phoenix, which I still find to be kind of wild. But yeah, he enjoyed it quite a bit. You want to know who else enjoyed it? Can I interest you in an Amen Thompson who said this about the KD game winner? And I found this to be kind of amazing.
I told him, I was like, that was the best moment I've had as a Rocket. Just the shot and, the home crowd, how loud they got. I think that's the first game winner we, hit. I mean, since my game winner, you know, since
my, I mean, you know, since me.
Like one of his favorite moments, Amen.
Well, and all, part of that is very understandable. I mean, that's Kevin Durant. That's the guy that they've all, and he's a young guy, so you know, clearly has idolized him, probably in middle school, you know, watching him, et cetera. So it makes sense. And then for it to come to fruition in terms of, like, when you make the Kevin Durant trade, this is exactly what you envisioned. Hey, we need a shot. Give the ball to Kevin Durant. Let's see what happens.
This is it.
How about an off-balance fadeaway 4 feet behind?
That's exactly why you got him here, man. Yeah. Because you didn't have that.
It was a deep three. It was a big-time three.
Without question. Sidestep. Yeah. And that's what you get him for. But I think also the cultural portion of it, and men doing that is the cultural portion. It is worth saying, though, that you know, in the ability to tough it out and everything, the concerns that people had about Kevin Durant also, about acquiring Kevin Durant, also popping up a little bit because I think the biggest news on the day got obscured by Kevin Durant pulling you out of the game, managing to get that win, being tough, rallying in the building.
Yeah.
One of the weird things that happened in the building was all of the clocks in the game.
Oh, man.
And the shot clocks not
like
working.
Old school, middle school.
And one of the things about it is it's no longer just like, oh, there's a scoreboard and there's, you know, clock up there. The NBA has the mechanics of this. Like, it's really nuanced. There's all sorts of things. We were actually talking about it with Hannah because Hannah was at the game.
Yeah.
And she has a little bit of insight into it. And I knew this, but hearing it again reminded me. You know that the referees' whistles, when they blow, it actually stops the clock. Like, they have so many mechanisms that are tied to all different parts, and that system was down. So it took the game out of this weird place, although it allowed the PA announcer to add a little bit of home cooking to it, to the game, by giving you countdowns and then giving intermittent countdowns.
The arm thing? Yes. And all that stuff.
I think all of that, the excitement of that, the Emi sideline, you know, being on the sideline with Boris and Jim Crane and his family, all of those things took away from what was the most important news on the day for me. Did you see that before we even got to the game, Alperen Şengün is going to be out for at least another 10 days before he's evaluated again?
Yeah, this is obviously enormous. I mean, these games all count. That's 2 weeks. We say it in baseball. It applies in basketball. This was a game that, on the upside, you got exactly what you hoped to get out of Kevin Durant when you traded for him, because that's why he's here, and he did it. And it was emotional. It was cool. And you just heard from Amen Thompson. On the downside, Şengün out for 10 days, 2 weeks in essence, of basketball. It amplifies the trouble you have in getting an offense that helps you avoid being in a situation where Kevin Durant has to take a last minute crazy shot, you know, because of in a good, well-run, efficient offense. And I know they're right behind you in the standings, but that's a game that you should have been able to control just by and get to more than just 100 points.
Yes.
You know,
but that's because the offensive issues, and this is where I come back to the thing that I said, which is the questions that some people rightfully had about the Kevin Durant acquisition that I know I waved away, they're coming up, which is you are leaning so much of what you do on Kevin Durant offensively. Amen Thompson, I love him as a player, but as a primary ball handler, it's becoming more and more annoying for me personally. I say this with as much respect as I can give, and I will also preface this by saying I really do love the player that I'm going to compare him to, even though there's negative connotation. He is a more aware Russell Westbrook. He is like, he takes shots with the confidence that he probably does not deserve in some of these instances. He attacks well, but he's also not creating, some of the separation. He's not turning the corner as easily because defenses can sit back and they know what's happening. So much of your offense looks hard. There's that portion of it. There's the fact that you don't have a lot of guys that generate, and without Alperen on the floor, teams can sit back and make it so hard. So you're taking a lot of contested jumpers, you're taking a lot of contested layups outside of Kevin Durant making a little something out of nothing. And that was a question people had. They were like, I don't want this to become just Kevin Durant centric. And through injuries, obviously Fred VanVleet being the first one, but now Alperen Şengün, you have gotten here. And that's the thing that's a little upsetting right in this moment for me.
So two questions that I'm looking at with this team right now. Number one, does it amplify, does it make it more important to get something done at the trade deadline because of what you just said? They need, and it's not just, even if Şengün's back, you know, you need something to be able to run this offense better. And number two, how are we feeling about the Kevin Durant trade in general, just in terms of how, let's keep in mind, there were championship expectations immediately. Well-deserved and should have happened. Championship, you know, expectations. There are 4 or 5 seed right now with an offense that can scuffle a little bit and is a disjointed team altogether. Has it been successful?
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of 5-star reviews and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
I think so. I still think so. I think going back to, you see a man, I've seen growth in Jabari Smith Jr.
Yeah.
And I still think there's more to come to become, like, if you're going to be the KD Jr., I need you to be KD Jr. in some of those moments where you are able to kind of just get your own shot. Mm-hmm. We've seen development in a lot of other players, and we've seen, like, even there was a moment in this game where Tari Eason is trying to throw a pass to KD. He errantly throws it. It goes out of bounds. In a moment, you can kind of see him be like, hey, I want you to do this. Mm-hmm. And you can see in the moment also, KD gives him like a quick word of advice. And, Tari goes, nods his head like, all right, I feel you.
Yeah.
Those development moments, I think, is continually what you want from this team. And he's still giving you that while also being capable of giving you not just being centric to the offense, but giving you that thing at the end. That what you got him for, he's still showing up. I think the other question is the one where I'm dabbling now, because mm-hmm. you know that I'd gotten to the place where I looked around the league and I said, like, I don't know what the answer is on the trade market. I think I'm opening myself up more to, can you find some level of answer that helps you figure this out? Because it's becoming more and more apparent that this is going to be something that matters. And some of this, you have to give credit to the Suns and obviously the familiarity that Dylan Brooks has, mm-hmm. but just generally that they were able to bring with this, because they are just sitting in your passing lanes.
Yeah.
They know that passing for you is not a good thing, and they made that tough. How many other teams can do that? But more importantly, how many teams will do that to you?
Yeah, no, I think I'm there with you when it comes to the trade. It does make it a little more interesting because, again, you're sort of adjusting on the fly here mid-season and trying to figure things out. So, but that's something you probably need to do in order for this offense to start working a little better. The other point you made, yes, there is. It's a successful trade in terms of, like, Jabari, for example, helping him individually. That doesn't do a lot for the squad in terms of what you're doing in the half court.
Now, yes, you know? That is fair. Yeah. I think offensively you were still also – it was a little problematic for you last year as well. And yeah. I don't want to grade them at what could be viewed as one of their lowest points in the season mm-hmm. to this point, where they also still won a basketball game.
Sure.
Because you have those abilities to finish out the games. And one of the things that was encouraging – again, I will take you to the score, 197 mm-hmm. – one of the things that got them over here was they locked down defensively in the second portion of it. And we have not seen that kind of defense this year for them.
No.
They've been lesser of a defensive team. They've started finding their groove, obviously, in December and such. But I think that having Tari Eason back, coming back off of his injury, and then having Dorian Finney-Smith debut, and we're seeing that defensive intensity kick up. So they have the instances or the inclination to be able to lock down when they need to, mm-hmm. and KD still presents the opportunity to, if I need to get you the ball, he can do it. It's just a little bit dicier than we thought it would be.
Yeah.
And, of course, that's on us, because why would we think it'd be all unicorns and rainbows?
It was deserved. It should have been that way, the expectation. Man, they got one of those stupid back-to-backs on the road coming up, too. At Portland tomorrow, and then at Portland on Friday.
Yeah, the little baseball series.
I hate those.
My mom is right there with you. I was on the phone with her.
Yeah,
it's necessary though to try and limit some of the traveling.
Sure.
These are all just Band-Aids because the NBA won't do what.
Back in my day.
Okay. All right. What the NBA needs to do is shorten the schedule. Except nobody involved wants to get back money.
Yeah, no.
And so we just gonna find a way to make this work. But that's a good back to back against Portland. And again, you won't have Alperen Şengün. I don't even know what the tiding over is without Alperen. The only thing that I hope here, John, is that, you know, this is a pressure makes diamonds type situations, and they can find some ways to get, you know, to rise above the occasion and what they're missing and find some answers. I don't know what those would be, though. Do you have a best guess of what you think some of the answers would be to, like, creation in the absence of Alperen Şengün?
Well, I think the answer is go with what works in terms of getting points on the board in critical minutes. I think you're not running the offense per se through Kevin Durant, but he's got his hands on the ball a lot.
Well, that's already the answer that they have.
Because obviously there are things you can do. Amen's still going to have the ball. You know, Shepard's still going to have the ball. But I think you just mix and match, and when you need it, you go to Kevin Durant.
Well, that's what it's looking like. And here's the thing: they managing to make it work, make a shake. A 22-11 Rockets team get a 100-97 victory. It was fun. It was exciting, but I don't want to ignore that there's something under here that they're traversing. They're having to deal with.
Yeah.
A fair question though, going back to what you were talking about the KD trade from the 713. I don't understand how this team would look any different if you didn't make the trade. And some of that is for the third time when you see the Phoenix Suns, Jalen Green is over there in street clothes.
Yeah.
That's also something you have to consider with what's happening here. 100%. Dylan Brooks brings that intensity, but you had the same intensity because of the likes of Tari and Dorian Finney-Smith. So I would still do that 10 times out of 10, deal.
Yeah.
But that does not ignore the fact
doesn't
that...
Doesn't fix the other thing.
Yeah. The other thing is that, that Fred VanVleet injury is really harming you right now in this moment. Not enough to make you lose, though. That's the beautiful part.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we got a little bit more insight into what the Astros look like. Let's talk about, or what they will look like, at least with their pitching staff. Let's talk about that and more in What's Popping next.
What's popping is Reggie Adetola, John Lopez, and Figgy Fig.
Hey, I like that. We got the two voiceover guys here. So what's popping? I wanted to get your thought on this, Figgy, with Tatsuya Imai and embracing the H-Town stuff.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. I want to get into a little bit more of the Japanese aspect of it, but really, really didn't hit you. This is – I can't separate him – from how Fromber left and how Fromber was looked at here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's what...
I didn't even put those two together, to be honest, until you said something.
I think it's one of those things that it's going to matter for Astros. It does matter for Astros fans.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I am so excited for what this move says about the Astros as an organization as a whole.
Yes.
I thought that getting a chance to hear from Jim Crane and Dana Brown also illuminated what's happening with this team. And this move is great on the individual level, but we made allusions to it. And I thought Chandler Rome did a great job in writing about this, laying out how Jim Crane, who's, you know, obviously his company and his business has taken him to Japan before, but the intertwining of the Astros and Daikin with the naming deal took him to Japan last year. And it reinvigorated his desire to have the Astros be present in the Pacific Rim portion of the world. So he actually asked them to beef up their scouting in those areas. And this is the first forays into that. And I think this is huge for continuing to develop it. You were mentioning how they have been on the forefront when it comes to, or maybe not the forefront, but they've been very good.
Well, maybe not the absolute forefront.
Right, but they've been very good.
They redefined South America and Cuba. In terms of, they had the Venezuelan Academy for years and years and years. Obviously, you know, Jose Altuve, so many players come from South America. So many Cuban players they've looked at the Astros first, even players that ultimately signed somewhere else because of they've done such a good job with that. Helped win titles, flat out helped win titles, you know, because they were so good in Latin America. Now, in a weird way, you know, when they started, you know, and built the partnership with Daikin and it's Daikin Park, you thought, okay, cool, whatever, no big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal on the field now.
Yeah.
Just real quick, the either vice president or president of marketing for Daikin in Japan was at the press conference yesterday. And it was very, very clear, it was made very clear that he was a big part of being able to get this player. It was huge.
Yeah, so all the folks that have been inclined to just still call it Minute Maid Park, you better get used to calling it Daikin. I think they might have shifted the organization. Well, I mean, they did in some ways because you see the bigger investment in the Pacific Rim. And the way that Jim Crane was talking about it, it's funny because I do see the Japanese players that have come into Major League Baseball. We know that. He's talked about it like this is an untapped market. Like there's still a market inefficiency happening with talent in the likes of Japan and Taiwan and Korea.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, this could be the thing that boosts and is a boon to your next run, because it's not just drafting well, but it's also finding more to build up your farm, in the other avenues of player acquisition. Mm-hmm. And if this helps you, you might be praising Daikin in quite a way. Plus, I love that Houston has on different occasions has gotten support from outside of the U.S. market. I think about Yao Ming all the damn time and how China impacted the Rockets, fan base and their popularity for a good while.
Their bank.
You have and literally physically the bank, the money that's in here. Yeah. How much more can you possibly get in on the Japan market, especially with the Ohtani phase that's happening as well? Like, can you get involved there, especially not just with Imai, but with more investment in that
area? You know what else I like about him? And this is just old school. We all have those friends. Hell, I was that friend when I was in elementary school and middle school. Like, everybody's like, oh, Rangers, Texas Rangers is my team, or the Astros or whatever. And obviously, I became a huge Astros fan. But when I was in elementary and middle school, I was that guy who went, nah, man, I like the A's. I like the Oakland A's because those wild uniforms and, all these crazy guys with mustaches and everything. I think Imai is that guy because he was asked about, the Dodgers are right there. The Dodgers are right there.
A lot of Japanese talent. Yeah, obviously, yeah. Ohtani, Roki Sasaki.
Yeah. Ohtani alone.
Yes.
World Series, back-to-back.
And he went, nah, I want to beat the Dodgers. I want to beat the Dodgers. You know, we all had that friend, right? Like, instead of the Browns, like when you were growing up in Cleveland, like, nah, man, I'm a Steelers fan.
Yeah. That's a bad example, right?
Yeah, because also the Steelers, that's a national brand. Everybody on there, they might be better to go the other way there. But yeah, like I see someone who's like, stop with the scouting BS. I don't think that it's BS. I think that there is something to it. Now, of course, they have to walk the walk of it, but this could be very big to what they do. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we also got a little insight to something that I think PC was talking about when he was holding down the fort on Thursday, that the six-man rotation you are going to see early and often next year. And I see you on the text line saying, I don't think that this rotation is done. I hope not, but I think that if it is, I have a much better feeling about it than I thought I would.
Let's go through it.
All right, so right now,
Hunter Brown at the top.
Very clear. I think Imai, especially without him playing in the World Baseball Classic and jumping in very early, he's got a lot of pitches. Some of them already fully formed. Some of them need a little bit of molding, and obviously he needs the pitch selection. No better place to find that out than with this Astros team. I think that he's going to hit the ground running and be a solid middle of the rotation.
I think he's number two.
And I think he, in this instance, he could be your number two. All right, so there you go. I think Christian Javier is an interesting one because you look at his, look at the underlying metrics and I go, last year was rough, but he was only a year off of Tommy John, and the widely respected folks will talk about the idea that second year coming off of the Tommy John is where you can see a better pitcher. We know that he has the temerity, he has the mentality to do it. Can he get his stuff back to that place?
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see that. If that's the case, and that's an if that I'm putting out there, which is fair, that works well.
I think that's 1, 2, 3, right?
The Mike Burrows acquisition might be 3.
He might be.
But, I mean, that's a guy that slides in. And then I think you've got some questions on some other guys like Spencer Arrighetti. Mm-hmm. Does he make his way back? Because if you look at your fifth and sixth spots, if we're right on those first four, Arrighetti, does he make his way back in? Is A.J. Blueball developing well enough to the place where they feel comfortable with him being a back end of the rotation starter? Jason Alexander, is he able to come up and continue what some of the good things that he did last year? Ryan Weiss was an acquisition that they made from Korea that he could be very well go through the car wash as well and end up as a viable starter. You've got a few names there that you can make shake there, and I like that as a possibility. And it feels like, especially if Imai hits the way that he's supposed to, it feels like you might have answered the front end of your rotation issue.
Hey, you didn't mention Lance McCullers Jr.
I didn't because I don't know that I want to go through that emotional roller coaster again.
Because I don't need that in my life.
Do you
need that in my life? I mean, we'll see. And that's as wide open as I can get on that. I mean, who knows? But you don't even count on him.
Yeah. He's that person. If you invite them to the party, just bring whatever, man. Whatever you bring is fine. If you don't bring nothing,
y'all need
that's
ice?
Fine
no, no, no.
Too.
We got someone covering the ice. Nah, bring
hey, bring some plates or some paper plates. If
anything.
If you don't bring it, that's still fine. Whatever
just
you bring,
set
them
over
cool.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's if he manages to bring something, that's gravy on top of what you're doing here. But I like this here. And I mean, I was talking with PC about this. I also find it interesting with the we also heard, you know, we're in a place where you very well could trade the likes of Jesus Sanchez, Christian Walker, Isak Paredes. Would you be willing to part with Aaron Geddy in order to move off of Walker?
Yes. Yes, I think so. I think what this does. Jim Crane also mentioned this yesterday. You know, I'm not afraid of spending. I'm not afraid of the luxury tax, but everybody has a budget, you know, and that's fair. And that's how I would approach it. If I had that kind of money, I would want to be, you know, right on that line, maybe over it occasionally or whatever, but you're not going to be crazy with it. Well, you're crazy with it if you don't make, you know, a smart deal here, especially with the logjam, you know, on the infield. So I think Walker might be one of those that they're looking at.
And you can save some money.
Yeah,
with,
that's what I'm saying.
With Walker, if you could find a way to get Walker out of there and maybe sending Aaron Geddy as a nice prospect could help alleviate that. I still don't love the idea of trading Paredes, but I understand if that's the place you got to. If they can manage to move on from Sanchez, that'd be an interesting thing, though.
Yeah.
Because he also is he's set to make some money, I believe, on arbitration. And if you can move off of him, you create a little bit of money. The only thing that I would then look up is you're getting a little thin in the outfield, but – that's when you look to what do you bring back in that trade and where could you
a
then apply?
They've been thin already,
that's
man.
Right. That's right. But is there a way that you could free up some money that could then help you go and address some of those issues?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to clear the infield to address the outfield.
I think that's probably the case.
Right. And I feel because Altuve is going to play second base and, you know, obviously Yordan's not going to do anything but DH. So you got to kind of clear some of that room to be able to address the outfield. One other thing popping here, we were talking about Cliff Kingsbury parting ways with the Commanders, and you know, clearly to me, it means he feels pretty good about other locales that he might end up. Now being reported that Cliff Kingsbury is expected to interview with the Giants and the Titans, among others, for their head coaching positions.
Head coaching positions, okay. So he is looking to be a head coach. More power to you if that's the way that you.
It
kind of
makes sense though. If you, not judging this year, but last year with a rookie quarterback,
sure,
I could see them trying to tap back into that because I know this was an off year for the Commanders, everybody being hurt and stuff. So I could kind of see.
So you're
that.
Saying Titans? Well, actually, either one, but I think Titans might be the fit for him.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you're right in there, Fig. The places that feel like they have a young quarterback that needs a little bit of molding. That's how you make sure that offensive play caller remains as you make him the head coach. So I could see that happening. I did want to go back. Did you notice that Jim Crane did not guarantee anything when it came to extensions on Espada or Dana Brown?
Yeah, and fair. Absolutely. We didn't know what their situation was going to be, you know, coming out of this past season. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. That's a little what's popping here on this Tuesday in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Here, coming up next, D'Amico Ryan seemingly has his concerns, or at least he's maintaining the standard on this defense. Is this just good hard coaching, or should there be concerns? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about this Texas team again next.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.